Well, not so I thought. Okay, good evening, everyone. And I know, Cad. But I am for Cad. And those who don't know me, although 35 years in Swansea, it'll be the Cardiff accent that shines through. And coming back to my home church, and I've done this before, but for the record, I'd like to do it again, to thank you, McIntosh, and those who've gone before, for shaping me. Now, that's a genuine thing. Back in the day, others in the Brethren circuit would criticize where I came from. They'd call it Slack Mac. But I'm so glad that our open approach was so important in my upbringing. So serious thank you, and never forget that. And 3 years since I stood here, I don't know where that 3 years went, and something in the Cardiff water, you're looking younger than you did three years ago, so take that as a real compliment. I wonder, is it possible to open the door just a little bit? Just a little bit of air. That'd be amazing. Thank you. Here's one verse from Philippians chapter 1. Paul speaking, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Here's Paul saying he expects and he hopes he will not be ashamed, but he will have sufficient courage to maintain his faith. And we're calling our talks Following Jesus, in brackets, in a hostile environment. So we're looking today, in the next few days, five little talks, Following Jesus. And this first one, Following Jesus Courageously. So, and we're looking at the book of Philippians to help us. It's a letter, it's a real letter, written to real people in a real place. Here it is. Well, not the exact original, of course, but it's three or four pages of a real letter. I don't think for 1 minute that Paul thought he was writing a portion of Scripture. He was writing a letter to friends, people in a church he'd started maybe 10 years before in Philippi, northeast of Greece, the first European church plant. And he's writing, it's a thank you letter. He's received a gift, a money gift, Epaphroditus, and I apologize, and I'll say it, sorry to him one day for getting his name totally wrong, but he's come from the church at Philippi with a financial gift, and Paul is writing to say thank you. It's a thank you letter, but it's Paul. So it's not just going to be thank you. He's going to take the opportunity to say other things, and in particular, he's going to take the opportunity to say to these people, keep going. I know it's tough. He talks about a crooked and depraved generation. And he's saying thank you, but he's also saying keep the faith, keep going. Above all, you see, this is a letter of encouragement. And when you encourage someone, you're giving them courage to carry on. That's what it means. Because sometimes following Jesus, you need courage. You need courage. Anyone like to identify this gentleman here? Oh, it is James Stewart. Well done. Can you identify the role he's playing? A very famous role that he played. It's A Wonderful Life, and the character was called?
George Bailey.
Very good. George. Was that my wife? George Bailey. Now, George Bailey's in trouble. He's in trouble. So much so that Clarence, an angel in heaven, is sent to help him. Now, there's a little bit of theological liberty here, but we allow a bit of poetic license, so let's not be too harsh on the film writers. And Gabriel is sending off the angel. Clarence is the angel who is assigned to George Bailey. Clarence hasn't earned his wings yet, so this is his big opportunity. And as he's leaving heaven to go to George Bailey, he says to Gabriel, what is the matter with George Bailey? Is he sick? Why am I being sent? Is he sick? Oh, says Gabriel, it's worse than that. He's discouraged, he said. He's discouraged. Know that feeling? Lacking the courage just to keep going. We need encouragers in our life. Here was the words from the Second World War. There were other factors at play, but there's no doubt the words such as these from Churchill helped kind of bind the nation together. And that famous, we shall never surrender speech. It still resonates. And here was a speech I came across in Lord of the Rings. I never watched Lord of the Rings, but here's someone called Aragorn, and I love this speech. He says, it's just before a battle. And he says, a day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day. An hour of woes and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight. So I think that's very powerful. So much so I pinched it for a sixth form assembly just before A-level exams. I heard myself say something like, there might be a day for playing Xbox 24 hours. There might be a day for staying under the duvet. There might be a day for surfing all day on Langland Bay Beach. But it is not this day. This day you revise. This day you revise. Encouragement. We all need encouragement. It occurs to me that the big encouragers in my life are my grandchildren. Here's Albie. He's a bit older than that now. But when he was two, he got me up. He was on a sleepover and he got us up early, 6 o'clock in the morning. It was a Sunday. I was due to preach later that day and my mind was a bit distracted. Those are all my excuses. But we were on a Duplo construction. Duplo, in case you don't know, is Lego, but big. And Albie was clicking away, building a wall here, doing this, that, and the other. I was all fingers and thumbs and barely got anything to work at all. Except on one occasion, something did click. And I heard my two-year-old grandson say, "Well done, Bampi," he said. "Well done, Bampi." Now, he could have said, "Excuse me, young man, who's the adult in the room here? And who made you the world authority on Duplo construction? Anyway, you know, you come back in 20 years when you've earned the right to say, well, I could have said that, would have been nonsense. I could have run the London Marathon that day, I tell you. Encouragement. And the other big encouragement in my life is little Elodie. Oh, bless her, I was struggling with a zip. Now, I should have been able to do it, but it was taking me ages. But eventually, I did it on a coat. And she said, "You did it, Bampi! You did it!" Huge encouragement, rather spoiled by the thought that, whoa, she's got really low expectations of her grandfather. Listen, we need encouragers in our lives, and following Jesus in a hostile world is not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes, as Paul admits, we need courage to carry on. You see, we commit our souls to following Jesus, and souls are fragile. The deepest part of us, the inmost part of us, our souls are so precious. They're the part of us we take into eternity, but they are so fragile. And you won't be following Jesus for long before you find your soul getting battered and broken and bruised, sometimes lost, sometimes simply worn out. Here's Elijah. "Lord," he says, "I've had enough. I've had enough." Souls get battered and bruised, and hearts need encouraging. Well, please take heart this evening and for the next few days. There is a restorer of souls. There is an encourager of hearts. There is a lifter of heads. Hallelujah. Andy Joyce had had a fall, and so she was in hospital. And I came down from Swansea to visit her, and she was fast asleep, and she looked ever so peaceful. And I didn't really want to disturb her. There were three other ladies in the ward. They were wide awake. But she was fast asleep. Really, I'm aware it was drugs or whatever, but she looked ever so peaceful. I didn't really want to disturb her, but I'd come a long way to see her. I prayed quietly over her, and then had the urge or the desire to read Psalm 23. Problem was, there were three other ladies in the room and Auntie Joyce is asleep, so I'm going to have to raise my voice, and I'm feeling a bit awkward about that, to my shame, but I plucked up courage and read the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd," I read. "I shall not want." And I carried on reading, and as I was reading, I realized mine was not the only voice in that hospital ward. Auntie Joyce was joining in. Still fast asleep. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." I'd stopped by then. I'd gone. I was just, she carried on. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And she finished, didn't wake up. There we are. I couldn't say anything. I asked her afterwards if she remembered it. She doesn't remember it. Listen, I know the brain is a wonderful thing, and there are certain triggers That's why you can hear a line from a song, and perhaps you can do the next line even though you've not sung it for 50 years. It's a remark. I know the brain is a remarkable thing. I don't think it was Anthony Joyce's remarkable brain speaking. I think a soul was speaking. And she was saying, although my body is wrecked, she's bedridden, as you know, and she's blind, and her body is given up, although my mind isn't as sharp as it used to be, she was saying, even with her eyes closed, it is well with my soul, she was saying. And that phrase, he restored. I went there to encourage Auntie Joyce, and all the encouragement was flowing this way. There is an encourager of souls. And this letter, the Philippians letter, is all about encouragement. Now listen, for all its warmth and very personal touches, please get the chance to read it. It'll take you 11 minutes, if that. And read it a couple of times, three or four times, just to get the flavour. You'll realise it reads like a letter, and it's a lovely letter. It's warm and it's very personal. Listen to this. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Well, that'd be lovely if someone said that about you. He says, I have you in my heart. He says, I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. He boasts about these guys, and he mentions numerous people by name. No one is told off. It's not like Corinthians or Galatians where a certain thing, and there's not a great big doctrine going on. It's just a thank you letter, and keep going, and I love you. And he, chapter one, he says, I pray that your love would abound in knowledge and depth of insight. It's a warm, friendly, touching letter. But there are plenty of hints about trouble and difficulty. There are plenty of reasons to be discouraged. He's in prison. He's in chains. He mentions that four times in the first two chapters. He wants us to know he is in chains. We don't know which imprisonment it is. Maybe it's the one at the end of Acts, in which case he's in Rome. But we're not exactly sure where he is. But he's in chains. He's in prison. He's not free and able to go and visit the churches and plant churches and preach the gospel. That's his calling. And yet he's stuck in prison. Not for the first time. Not for the last time, probably. How discouraging is that for him? And for those thinking, hang on, where's our God in this? Our main man is stuck in prison. How discouraging is that? He's not sure what's going to happen to him. If you read between the lines, it looks like he's due for some kind of appearance, and the outcome could be freedom or it could be execution. It's a life or death. He doesn't know. One time he says, well, whatever happens, he says. He doesn't know. He's very vulnerable here. That's a sign of discouragement. He mentions sufferings and struggles for him and for the Philippians. He's been anxious about the health of the gentleman who's come with the money. And he's only just survived with his life, the Epaphroditus. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. There's plenty of scope for discouragement. He's even heard the two prominent women have had a falling out. Now that's bad news. That's discouraging. Christians behaving badly. That's hugely discouraging. He's aware of some disunity. He's aware that there are some false teachers coming in. He knows they're living in a crooked and depraved generation. It's never going to be easy to say Jesus is Lord, particularly in a Roman colony where Caesar is Lord. And there's just so much room to be discouraged. And that's why Paul uses phrases. You'll see it like, stand firm. Don't be frightened by those who oppose you. Press on toward the goal. Stand firm in the Lord, he says. But ultimately, he knows that our encouragement is not found in words or in a cause or in whipping up emotion or wishful thinking. No, no. He writes a letter of encouragement to encourage his readers. That includes us 2,000 years down the line, because our encouragement is in a person. In chapter two, Paul refers to the encouragement of being united with Christ. The encouragement of being united with Christ. Our ultimate encouragement is in a person, a living person, and his name is Jesus. Philippians, say the experts, is Christ rich. It's full of Christ. I've counted 16 or 17 references where Paul talks about being in Christ, being found in him. He has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Have the same mind as it's in the Lord. Your hearts and minds will be guarded in Christ Jesus. 17, 18 references to being in Christ Jesus. That's his security. That's what Paul can carry on. And he wants others, us, to catch that too. He says, the most important thing in my life is knowing Jesus. He says it. I want to know him more, chapter 3. Everything else is rubbish, he says. It's knowing Christ, the person. Knowing him is his encouragement. If you're in Christ, if you have believed in his name, Ephesians chapter 1, if you're in Christ, then nothing else counts. I remember a rugby game. I was fly half. I'd done a kick ahead. And it was one of my better ones. But I didn't see the outcome because I was whacked by an opponent and I hit the floor. The pitch was hard, bang my head. I guess I was momentarily unconscious. I thought I was dying. And so as a 17-year-old, all I could think of as I was lying there dying, I thought was, I believe, I believe, I believe. Just in case there was a passing angel and he would know. Now I was wrong on two counts. One, it wasn't my last kick. Thank you, Lord. But my eternal destiny does not depend on what I'm thinking at a particular moment. If I am in Christ, it's on him. If I am in Christ, that's his call. That's his responsibility. And Paul knows it because he knows him. Andy Joyce knows it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, she's saying. Her soul is saying, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because it will suddenly vanish? No, because thou art with me. She knows that. Paul knows that. Oh, that we in the depths of our souls would know that he is with us. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. It's almost as if he's saying, you know the shepherd in Psalm 23, you know that shepherd? Well, it's me, standing in your presence, just to let you know, it's me. And I know my sheep, and they know me. They listen to my voice. Dear friends, there is a lifter of heads. There is a restorer of souls. There is an encourager of our hearts, and his name is Jesus. And I think this weekend, he'd love us to listen. Open my eyes, open my ears, we sang. I think he wants us to, my sheep know my voice. So much noise is off. Give ourselves some space over the next couple of days just to listen to him. And I think for some of us, he'll be restoring our soul if we just let him. The lifter of my head. A few years ago, 30 years ago, there was quite a sadness in our family, and a song was out at the time, and it meant a great deal to us. At that time, our souls were damaged. Our souls were maybe broken, certainly bruised. Great sadness. And there's a line from this song that says that you lift me up when I fall down. Well, yes. And 30 years down the line and through other sadnesses in the life of circumstance, to be able to say, yep, there is a restorer of souls. There is someone who lifts us up when we fall down. And his name is Jesus. And he wants us to know him. Paul says, I know him. I want to know him more. I want to know. Let's listen to his voice. And let's sing together about this faithful one. Before we do that, shall I just pray, Lord, don't know the situation of people's souls this evening. Thank you that you know us through and through. You know us by name. Help us know you. Lord, from youngest to oldest, open the eyes of our hearts and our understanding, our souls, that we might connect with you over the next few days, that we might know encouragement, and that we would encourage others for Jesus' sake. Amen.